Greetings, Andrew. This is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. I am a big brother to Hosanna, and she's just a precious, precious friend. And I have been recently told about you through her, and I asked her for permission to send you a little recording. I'd like to be able to just encourage you in your faith in Christ. And I'll try to leave a short message because I don't know what maybe questions you might have. So I don't want to be presumptuous about anything, but I'll tell you what she's told me, what she shared with me, is that you're struggling to really find, I guess, closeness or to feel the presence of the Lord in your life. And she told me that you are a person of high intellect and that you have got a great deal of knowledge and that you have a lot of questions. And so I felt led to share with you that, you know, God is the one who gave you this intellect, Andrew, okay? He's the one that gave it to you. He gives all men all gifts. The Bible says that all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. And so he created you with certain weaknesses and certain strengths, okay? Everybody being made different, everybody being given different gifts and talents and strengths. And I'll tell you this, that the gift of knowledge and intellect, a strong intellect, actually, my friend, can become a huge disadvantage. It actually should be seen as a weakness as it relates to knowing God. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 how would God ever give me this if it's a weakness? So understand this. God is pleased to give all of us weakness. My weakness is certainly not going to be in the area of intellectual capacity. It's totally different. Okay, so everybody has weaknesses, and these weaknesses are allowed for a very good reason. God is in the business of bringing his chosen people low. Those who he knew through his foreknowledge would choose him back once he chose them through a prevenient work of grace to open your eyes to help you see that you're a sinner condemned to hell forever and ever apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ. So God does this work of grace in your eyes, of your heart, to open them so you can see, wow, I need a savior, okay? And then God is pleased to allow you to have weakness so that he can pour out his grace upon you. God is very much about himself. This is something that's very hard for people to understand, but when you read the Bible, you see over and over, not for your sake, but for the sake of my name, I will do this so that my name will be known amongst all the nations. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, wherever you do it, however you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is about himself. He's about lifting up himself. And he finds people that are interested in him, that love him, that want to worship him. I want God to be awesome. I want God to be all about himself. So God helps me to glorify him. God gives me resources from heaven called grace. Grace is God's invisible power. It is not the forgiveness of sins or the overlooking of my sins. That's only one tiny aspect of grace. God's grace is so much bigger than that. God's grace is his unmerited power. You don't deserve it, but you receive it by faith. He gives you the power to rise above, to live beyond this world, to overcome the world through faith, and to know him, to walk with him. Now, question is, what are the conditions by which God gives grace? And it's very clear in Scripture. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. The proud man is the man who's capable of doing things on his own. And for he in himself, he's his own provider and he's a God. This is what God despises. So when a man has strength, be it mighty strength, when a man has financial strength, when a man has intellectual strength, these things can make a man proud. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. Andrew, if you're a really smart guy, you, my friend, are going to be dangerous to yourself because you're going to have always a weakness to want to puff yourself up and to think more highly of yourself when, in fact, you didn't have anything to do with creating you. By the way, I'm speaking of you and I both, okay? Mine was the ability to win people over. Mine was my ability to communicate. I do not have to think. I can speak and the words come out. It makes sense. And people are enamored with what I speak. And they would pay me thousands of dollars to speak. And then they would come up to me and say, wow, you're such a great speaker. You're like Tony Robbins. You're like Zig Ziglar. Okay? For me, speaking is like breathing. You can breathe easy. You do it subconsciously. You don't even have to think about it. You are unconsciously competent in your ability to speak. I mean, in your ability to breathe. For me, that's speaking. I can do it without thinking about it. It's like breathing. It just, the Father helps me and I do this. He gave me a natural talent combined with the Spirit of God. I'm a communicator. I've never struggled for words. So that's puffed me up. That became an area of pride. And as you can see, my strength became a huge, detestable weakness. I used my strength to build a name for myself, to exalt myself, to demonstrate value for myself over other people. Okay? God despises this. I had no idea. Men loved it. But in Luke 16, 15, the Bible says that what men highly esteem and highly value, God finds detestable. What do men love? Men love knowledge. Greeks seek after wisdom. Philosophers seek after philosophy. Intellectual people sin. They want knowledge. The Bible says that God has been pleased to hide the secrets and the deep things of the kingdom of God from the wise and learned. And instead, he reveals it to babes. So you know what I did? Mine was a little different. Again, mine was the speaking and communicating and all that stuff. I humbled myself. God was pleased to allow brokenness into my life. I was sick and tired. I had made all this money, $700,000, Andrew, I made in 2007. I lived in a $1 million home. I had a 3-car garage full of motorcycles and toys and mountain bikes. I traveled anywhere in the country I wanted. I had a video crew that would come with me. I had everything. My kids were in private school. I had all the things that people told me would make me happy. I was miserable. A year and a half struggle, I surrender to God. And I say, Father, I want to live for you. I want to know your will. I want my life to count. I don't want to stand before God and be embarrassed on the day of judgment. Lord, I either want all of you or none of you. I'm sick of this trying to live in the world and for you. I was trying to mix oil and water. I was trying to serve God in money, Matthew 6:24. And you can't do it. You just can't do it. The way of the Christian life is following Jesus. Jesus had nothing on this earth, not even a place to lay his head. He became rich so that you and I could become poor. He gave it up all so that you and I could have everything. And he asks us to do the same thing. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, or he cannot be my disciple. If a man comes to me and doesn't give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. I had to give up my speaking gift. I had to give up my desire to please and win over other people. I had to give up my love for money and business success. Okay? And here's what happened. God allowed brokenness. And here's my final point I want to share with you. God allowed brokenness into my life, which brought me low. And God brings men and women low for the very purposes of pouring out his grace into their life. That enabling power such that in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And then God is able to use you and to bless you without corrupting you. All right? The biggest thing I can help you understand is you need to get God's understanding. Everything in this world, we have a tendency to look at through the eyes of human understanding. But in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own ability to intellectually pacify yourself or to go out and ascertain information about the world or the way it works or your life. Don't go to men for knowledge. All truth that you need to live godly in Christ Jesus is in that Holy Bible. Man will tell you, oh, it can't be that simple. You got to follow this program and that, and you got to learn about this and that. No, learn about God first. Make the sacrifice. Take your intellect, put it on the altar of sacrifice. Give everything you have and are and desire to Father. If he gives anything back to you, he sees it as something that he gave to you rather than something you acquired for yourself. And then he can use it for his glory and for your good. But my friend, you got to get good understanding, the ability to see everything in your life the way the Father sees it. Say, for example, you have a friend named John. You think John is a great guy. but God says he's evil. If you don't see John the way God sees John, you have enmity with God. You see, your career, you think it's awesome. God thinks it's wicked. He thinks it's detestable. The books you read, the television shows you watch, the music you listen to, the church you go to, the pastor you follow, the YouTube videos you watch, the people you associate with, the books you read, the magazines you have, all of these things, you have to be able to see them the way the Father sees them. If you constantly are bringing things into your life that you think are good, that the Father thinks are bad, you have enmity with him. Supposing you were to find a girl and you were to get married to her, okay? But you and her varied very much differently on you. You had directly opposing ideas on what was good, meaningful, and purposeful in the world. You'd never have a relationship. If everything you thought was good, she thought was bad, or vice versa, you would have no intimacy. You would have no fellowship. It would not be a relationship to work with. This is the way it is with the Father. Now, the only way to get this kind of understanding, you cannot just read the Bible and get it. You have to read the Bible and obey it. Jesus Christ says in Mark 4:23, he says, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear." And he says, "Be very careful how you listen. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. To him who has, more will be given. To him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." The way you get wisdom is by obeying the precepts of God as a result of your fearing God. You recognize, Andrew, that the day is going to come, and you have no idea what day that's going to be. You're going to have to stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account of every single word you spoke. Jesus said, by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive his due reward, whether good or bad. There's two books in heaven that I can see in Revelation, the book of life and the book of deeds. And everything you and I are doing is being written in these books, okay? To be found in the book of life is only possible if you have heard the words of Jesus Christ and you're practicing them. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" In other words, why do you call yourself a Christian and not obey my teaching? Luke 8:21, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Matthew 7:21 through 27, Jesus said, "Two men, one's a fool, one's wise. The fool built his house on the sand." Building the house on the sand is those who hear God's words, the words of Christ, and do not put them into practice. The wise man built his house on the rock because he heard the words of Christ and put them into practice. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the streams rose, that house stood. That's the key. You want to follow the teachings of Christ. I want to recommend to you that you go back to the basics. No matter how long you've been in church, no matter what your Christian experience has been, forget all of it. Put your pastor's words aside. Just go back to the words of Jesus Christ, Andrew. I'm telling you, this is what I did. And young man, I tell you, I have the greatest life I could ever possibly explain. I cannot explain it. As Peter says, "I'm filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. I know my Father. I walk with him." I'm making a recording to you from India right now. I'm in a third world country living with my wife. There's no comforts. Everything's difficult. I can't drink the water. The sounds don't stop. The mosquitoes don't stop. The smoke doesn't stop. The traffic doesn't stop. The electricity doesn't stay on. The internet doesn't even work right now. Ups and downs on everything. Nothing's clean. Everything's broken. Everything's falling apart. And I'm absolutely thrilled and happy and filled with peace and joy and rest by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew, I found this because I got very serious about learning and practicing the teachings of Christ because I loved him and I feared him. There's no other way. I can't make you love God. I can't make anybody love God. I can't make you fear God, but I can try to persuade you. And so I have. If you have some questions, I'd love to be able to try to answer them for you. But I would encourage you, if you're really trying to find God, every single day, testimonies are coming in from around the world from people who have taken the John 7:17 challenge, the book that I wrote, which has just compiled all the teachings of Christ into one daily 90-day format with stories and application on what the teaching means and how to put it into practice. And we're getting testimonies from around the world from people who didn't have the Father's love, didn't feel his presence, or were living in darkness, and God's turning it all around for them, not because they're reading my words, but because they're obeying the words of Christ. You can take this challenge for free on my website, relentlessheart.com, and click the challenge. I want to encourage you, and may God bless you to fill you with knowledge and understanding of him. May he fill you with all spiritual wisdom. May he grant you the understanding of who he is and who you are to him. May God bless you richly, brother. Please feel free to contact us back, and hope to hear from you. Tell Hosanna hello the next time you talk to her, and I'll probably let her know I sent you a recording. God bless you, brother. Bye-bye.